night after we light the Hanukkah licht, custom is to sing Mao Tzur. And most of us don't even really pay attention to Mao Tzur being a chronicle of Jewish history, each paragraph going through a different one of the exiles and the salvation. The opening paragraph is very fascinating. Mao Tzur, Almighty Rock of my salvation, Yeshuati, Lecha Na'el L'Shabeach, it's worthy to thank you. And then we describe Tikon Beis Tfilati, restore my house of prayer, V'sham Toda Nesabeach, and there we're going to give thanks, bring a Korban Toda. Le'et Tachin Matbeach Mitzor HaNabeach, when you will have prepared the slaughter for the blaspheming foe, then I shall complete Azegmor B'Shir Mizmor Chanukat HaMizbeach, a song of him, the dedication of the altar. Why is this the opening paragraph of Mao Tzur? What in this paragraph connects me to what the holiday of Chanukah is about? Azegmor B'Shir Mizmor Chanukat HaMizbeach, just because it has the word Chanukah, Chanukah. And indeed, our major question for today is going to be exactly this question. What is the name Chanukah mean? Where does the name Chanukah come from? We know the name is the essence of something. Why did the rabbis call this day Chanukah? We know, in fact, and this is source number two, that there were two major things that happened in the Beis HaMikdash and the temple when the Jews entered in. One is they found that little bit of oil which lasted instead of one day for 8 days. And the other thing is, there was a Chanukah HaMizbeach, a rededication of the Mizbeach of the altar. If we take a look for a moment in source number 25, when the Chashvarim entered the Beis HaMikdash on the 25th of Kislev, they had dismantled the Mizbeach, the altar, because the Yevanim had defiled it. Once it was taken apart, they hid a stone in the northeast chamber of the Beis HaMikdash, rebuilt the Mizbeach in purity with new stones, and resumed bringing offerings upon it. The word Chanukah literally means dedication, and the holiday was given this name as a reference to dedication of the new Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash, which took place on that day by the Chashvarim, and this is the Maharsha. So the question we have is, what is this connection between the Chanukah HaMizbeach and the way we celebrate Chanukah? Indeed, as the Siva Shalom notes in 3a, the Chanukah HaMizbeach, the rededication of the altar, was something L'Shaita, was for that time. It isn't something that's relevant for today. Why don't we call the holiday based on the Neros, based on the candles, based on something that was L'Doros? After all, our rabbis tell us, the Gemara in Shabbat says, L'Shana HaAcheret, the next year, they were kavum, they established it as a day of thanksgiving and of giving gratitude to Hashem. They felt that the lights and the energy of Chanukah from the previous year lasted and will continue to last at Bi'etz Goel until Mashiach. So it makes more sense. That aspect, which is a continuous aspect, year after year, that should be the name of the holiday. We should call it Menorah, Nero, something like that. The Mizbeach, the rededication, was just for a short time. Further, this idea of the Mizbeach is also connected in source number two, that has to be understood a little bit deeper, to the Medrash, which says that the original Mishkan that Klal Yisrael made in the desert, the Jewish people finished on the 25th day of Kislev. But for whatever reason, they wanted to save it, Hashem wanted to save it to the month of the birthday of Yitzchak Avinu, to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So poor Kislev was left out. Hashem says, don't worry, I'll make it up to you. I'll give you the Chanukah, the rededication of the time of the Maccabim. In what way does that make it up? The rededication was because they built a new Mizbeach. In what way is the 25th of Kislev in any way connected to the Mishkan that the Klal Yisrael made in the desert? And even more surprising is the Kriyas HaTorah that we have on Chanukah is in the Nesiim, is the princes that brought the gifts in the inauguration of the original tabernacle. We have to understand the connection. So what I like to try to do, my friends, is to take a look, and there's a lot here, so we're just going to take a peek, as we always do. We've done this a little bit in the past, we'll continue, is look at Hanukkah on two levels. And on each level, look at it on two levels, and within all four levels, try to see its relevancy, if we can, for our lives. So the Ran on Shabbos in source number 3b, this is the Sefer Inside Hanukkah, Rabbi Strickhoff. Why is Hanukkah called Hanukkah? Our question. Since the Hasronim rested from battling the Yevanim on the 25th day of Kislev, the first day of Hanukkah, the holiday is called Hanukkah because this word is made up of Chanu. Chanu, Chet Nun Vav, means they rested, like a Chanaya is a parking place. Machaneh is camp, it's all the same word. And Kafhei, Chanu Kafhei, which has the gematria, the numerical value of 25, implying the 25th of Kislev. So why do we call the holiday Hanukkah? Because they rested from the war on the 25th day of Hanukkah. So the Sifte Chaim, Rav Chaim Friedlander Zatzal, brings this down, and he says, that doesn't seem to make sense. I'm going to celebrate the fact that they stopped fighting the war. Like, what is there a celebration in that? It makes more sense, as we mentioned, that it's about the Hanukkah of the rededication of the Mizbeach, and that's the Hanukkah, that's the rededication. Then the question becomes, in source number 4, well, why are you telling me that they rested? Is that because we should rest? And that we should do malacha? And indeed, Minhag Yisrael, at least the women, B'sha'as Shanei Rostokim, the Ma'aril writes, V'nirak Sat Raya Midir Kerula Hu Chanukah Klomar Chanu B'Kafei D'Ein Yisur Klabel Malacha Ma'chanai Ashakam, that there has to be some level of not doing certain malacha, because otherwise why would you call it Chanukah? So if you want to say that Chanukah is about they rested on the 25th from the war, like, what implications does that have for my life? I can hear it being, which will be the second level, the rededication. But that's the second level. If it's the first level, that it's they rested on the 25th, so why do I need to know this? So it must mean that if they rested, we should rest, which means that we shouldn't be doing malacha, certain types of work. However, we know that we do malacha. Men do malacha. Women just do malacha. Don't do malacha for the first half hour. So it seems far to say that it's Chanukah. They rested because they didn't do work. So we're back to they rested from the war. So what is the significance? Why do we celebrate that? So the Sifte Chaim offers in a very, very deep way. He says in source 4 and 5, the resting of the war is lefareshet omek tochen umatarat milchamatam, is teaching us about the reason they went out to war. Ki asu eta melchama rak leman asterisks and 5, Hashem yisparach lesaraso, they only fought in order for the name of the sake of Hashem, first Torah, because the Yevanim were stopping us from keeping mitzvot and learning Torah. It wasn't that they went out to war for political reasons, to save their lives. No, not such thing. The Yevanim were, the Greeks would have allowed us to live happily ever after, as long as we became Hellenized. V'chanu me'melchama me'ashibud aruchani. The zach of resting means that now they can rest from the spiritual challenge they were under. The resting isn't chanu kafe. Doesn't mean necessarily that we're celebrating the resting of the war. We're celebrating the resting of the war, which now enables them to be freed from the spiritual oppression, and now they're able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu freely. And he says, this is indeed, we know that Hanukkah, Arachti Ner L'Mashichi, Pasuk in Tehillim, is a light, a glimpse of the Or Chadash Shel Tzion Tayir, of the future light of Mashiach. The reason we want Mashiach is not, you know, we want Mashiach now. Why do we want Mashiach? The Rambam clearly says, and it's the end of 5, we want Mashiach. Ubipnei zeh nitavu kol Yisrael niveim v'chachameim limot ha-Mashiach, kdei sheyanuchu malchio sheinam minichot lehem lasot b'Torah mitzvot kahogim, that we'll be able to have a respite from those who are blocking us from learning Torah. We won't have the financial pressures, the political pressure. What is Yemot HaMashiach, the time of Mashiach, all about? It's a time of uninterrupted spiritual focus. So when we're talking about what the meaning of Hanukkah is, this is the essence of the day. It enables us to have the freedom to be able to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu without any challenge. That's the chanu. That's the resting. Resting from spiritual oppression. And likewise, when Hanukkah becomes the harbinger of what the future is about, that's what we're yearning for, a time where we'll have the freedom and the resources to be able to learn uninterrupted. That, my friends, is the first understanding of Chanu Kafhe, the resting on the 25th day, being able to use this time. And therefore, as we'll see today, Mirtz Hashem, that's what Hanukkah is about. Hanukkah is about utilizing the time to rededicate our efforts in our learning, in our Shmiras HaMitzvot, in our Tefillah. We'll see all of this today. It's about not being encumbered by all those things that take us away from the spiritual focus. That's 1A. 1B, which is totally different, will give us a little bit of an insight into the parasha as well, into Miketz, which is usually connected with Hanukkah. This year, it's right after Hanukkah. So the Shile Pinchas in the year Tufshin Ayin Gimel, 5773, brings down the following. There's a difference in source 6, the way Moshe Rabbeinu had Nevuah and the way the rest of the Nevi'im, the rest of the prophets had Nevi'im. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to have Nevuah Zeh HaDofar, this thing. Zeh, you can point to, clarity. The other Nevi'im had Nevuah with the phrase Ko. Ko Amar Hashem, right? Ko Amar Hashem Zacharti La Chesenu Raya, right? Ko Amar Hashem Matzachei Bamidbar, Ko Amar Hashem. What's the difference between the two? So he says that, before we get that, so he said, that's what this is about. Vabir b'zeh, ki nevuah Moshe ha'ita b'vchinat zeh ha'davar, the bracket and stick, she nevuah l'malu min ha'teva. Zeh ha'davar, Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah is above the natural. Aval kol ha'nevim nabu b'vchinat ko amar Hashem. While the rest of the prophets use that phrase, ko amar Hashem. Why? Here's the key. Ki nevuatam haitam alubeshu b'vchinat ha'teva. Well, Moshe Rabbeinu was l'malu min ha'teva, aspathari ha'meira, that clear vision. The rest of the prophets had a clouded vision. That is indicative of being involved in the world of Teva, being involved in the physical world. Therefore, the name of the holiday is Chanukah, which is Chanu Kafhei Lohoro, to teach us, Ki achanaya min ha-melchama, being able to be victorious from the war, Vanitzachon, Hayanes melubash b'teva b'vchinat ko. By saying Chanu Ko, it's not just they rested on the 25th day, but rather they rested with the Bechina, with the aspect of Ko, which is an aspect of Teva, to show us that indeed this was a miracle, but it was a miracle clothed in the natural world. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes deals with us in the supernatural and sometimes in the natural. Chanukah and Purim, which are Midrabanan from the rabbis, are two miracles that are found within the natural world. I'd like to try to develop this a little bit deeper. Now we're moving to the English of the same Maimer in Shilei Pinchas. There's a hint that the Shiltei Geborim quotes, that a lot of people quote, of where do you find, there are a number of Ramazim, a number of hints to Chanukah in Parshat Miketz. One of them is when Yosef sees his brothers with Binyamin that came down, Vayar Yosef, source 7, Itam et Binyamin, Vayomer Lasher Beito, he says to a person in his house, Havei et Anashim Abaita, bring these people to my house, V'tvoach Tevach V'achein, and slaughter the meat and prepare it because they'll eat with me today. You take the word Tvoach V'achein, the last letter in Tvoach, to slaughter, the chet, and v'achein, and prepare, you get Chanukah. And there's a lot of Torah on this, that the whole idea of Chanukah is about hachana, preparation, not for us today. And indeed, there is an allusion here that Yosef HaTzadik prepared for them a Chanukah meal. And that's why you have the idea of Yad, hand, five times, in the Alanisim, and Binyamin was given five extra portions. There's also a hint here of having a Purim Suda. What is going on here? Yosef HaTzadik is in Egypt. We haven't even gotten the Torah yet, and he's making them a Chanukah Suda, he's making them a Purim Suda. Like, we're, you know, it's like when my students say, oh, the Rambam looked after the Chavad Chaim. Like, you know, when you get all mixed up and you're not quite sure what's going on here, like, how do we understand this? So obviously there's a tremendous amount of depth here. Let's try to uncover it for a number of moments and see something very fascinating. Yosef HaTzadik was the source of tremendous amount of jealousy because of the extra attention that his father favored him. And his father gave him a ketonet passing, a beautiful tunic, and Chazal say, as a result of this extra gift Yaakov gave to Yosef, and not to the brothers, the matter evolved such that the forefathers descended to Egypt. And what was this special garment? It was two selahs of fine wool. Shtei tzla'im milat. Because of this two selahs of fine wool, that the jealousy happened and we went down to Egypt. Noschachas himself from the bracket in 8. The two selahs of fine wool that Joseph received in excess of the brothers correspond to the festivals of Chanukah and Purim, where Yaakov Avinu taught the brothers Kol HaTorah Kula, but the entire Torah, but two things he couldn't reveal to them, he could only reveal to Yosef. And this explains the idea of the garment. The idea of the garment is something very much connected to the rabbis, right? Chanukah and Purim are the two rabbinic holidays. And there's this idea of Tzurba Derabbanan, Chaluka Derabbanan, the rabbinical garment. So the Ketonet Pasim is really the rabbinical garment, which means the mitzvos, the two selahs, the two mitzvos that are from rabbinic origin, which the brothers didn't receive, which Yosef received, that created what we call kinah sofrim, you know, the jealousy of scholars that here Yosef was given something we weren't given. So again, we have to ask ourselves, why is Yaakov Avinu giving this specifically to Yosef that he didn't give to the brothers? And why is Chanukah and Purim connected with Torah Shebaal Peh? Why couldn't it be found in the Torah? Like, how do we explain this? So he notes here, and this is a very beautiful idea to think about when hearing the brachas or saying the brachas. Let's begin to shed some light, 9, on these issues by introducing an important principle learned from the teachings of Kedushat Levi. He says, why is the bracha Shasanisim Lavalsenu by Mima Haim Basmanazet that Hashem did miracles for our forefathers in those days at this time? Why isn't it recited about the miracles and wonders associated with Pesach? Why is it only on Chanukah and Purim we say this? And he offers the following insight. The miracles that happen on Pesach are clearly miracles that are l'malo min ha-teva, above the natural order. Normally you don't have frogs coming out of every part of your home. Normally you don't have blood in your water. I would hope not. All of these things are l'malo min ha-teva, above the natural order. Right? Sea drying up. This is not everyday common occurrence. In contrast, then again, if you haven't played your water bill, it may also dry up, but that's not what we're referring to here. In contrast, the miracles of Purim and Chanukah were obscured within the realm of nature. Arrow in 10. On Purim, Haman's decree was annulled as a result of Ahasuerus' love for Esther and Malka. On Chanukah, the Hashmonim defeated the Greeks with military weapons. Despite the veil of nature, it was obvious to all, both on Purim and Chanukah, that Hashem performed these miracles to save the Jewish people. Therefore, our blessed sages instituted the recitation Chanukah and Purim of the Bracha, who performed miracles on behalf of our forefathers in those days at this season. Here's the key. In other words, the miracle performed by Hashem on Yisrael's behalf were concealed Bazman Hazeh, within the realm of nature and the constraints of time. Whereas the miracles associated with the Avodah, with the Exodus, we're beyond the realm of nature and beyond the constraints of time. That's what it means. Shasanisim Lavasenu Bayamim Ahem Basmanazeh. Basmanazeh, we normally understand, means at this time. He's teaching it Basmanazeh, meaning Basman, using the component called time, using the constraints of time and space, which means the natural world. With this, we can appreciate the Maharal, in source number 11, who says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with the world in two levels. One is the supernatural, wherein Hashem is directly involved. And the other is the natural, where, albeit Hashem is directly involved, but He has intermediaries, the sun, the moon, the rain, that facilitate the natural process. It explains about, Maharal Miprag explains, that the Torah Shebichtav, the written Torah, is the Torah of the supernatural. It's a direct from Hashem. No intermediaries. The Torah Shebaal Peh, which is the give and take of the rabbis understanding the Torah Shebichtav, that parallels the idea of the natural order. That parallels that, albeit it's Hashem's Torah, but they're intermediaries who are in the process of explicating the laws. And therefore, my friends, the Torah Shebaal Peh, on the other hand, includes the aspects of the Torah and the arrow that revealed as a result of Hashem's bestowing His wisdom upon Torah scholars so He could clarify and refine Torah knowledge in each and every generation. Thus, we can appreciate why Hashem arranged that the two festivals of Chanukah and Purim be revealed specifically by the scholars of Torah Shebaal Peh. Seeing as the miracles associated with these festivals manifested itself within the guise of nature, it was imperative that they be revealed specifically by Torah Shebaal Peh, the source of Hashem's management of Jewish people within the guise of nature. Now, let's take this one step further and tie all the pieces together. We all know the very famous Ramban at the end of Parashat Bo, that the way we have to view this world is that Hashem purposely has done things that were beyond the laws of nature, l'malaminateva, what we call miraculous, in order for us to have the correct lenses to appreciate that really everything is above the natural order. And that even though it looks to us like nature, know that Hashem's hand is intimately involved in every single part of what this world is about. Nevertheless, the purpose of such miracles is to instill in a person the belief that either nature is controlled by Hashem, Israel's belief that the natural order of things is termed by Hashem, was revealed by the means of Chanukah and Purim. So now we can understand that here, Yaakov Avinu, understanding that Yosef HaTzadik is connected to the next generation. He's like the bridge between the Avos and the Bani. He represents, as we'll see in a minute, the Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral tradition. Therefore, when Yosef HaTzadik is in Egypt, and Egypt represents the Lamala Mina Teva, the above natural order to learn that everything is really Teva, when they're sitting in Egypt, as we've spoken about before, sometimes you have to do a physical act down here to bring about a response in heaven. Yeah, Yosef HaTzadik is creating the physical meal down here of Chanukah and Purim, teaching us, the brothers and us really, that within the miracles of Egypt, with that mindset, with those glasses, see the mitzvot d'rabbanan, the holidays from the rabbis, right? How do we know that we have to keep Chanukah? Pasuk says you have to listen to the rabbis, it's a rabbinic holiday. That we learn that we should look at the miraculous things that happen through the eyes of the natural things that happen through the eyes of the miracles. So while they're in Egypt represents the miraculous, let us now open the floor for the possibility of Chanukah and Purim, which will look like nature, but we will not be fooled and know that they're above nature. And that is why Yosef HaTzadik is making this meal for the brothers of Chanukah and Purim. He's laying down the foundation of the way we need to view the world once the miraculous miracles disappear. Why is Yosef the representative of Torah Shebaal Peh? Why is he? So there are a few hints in our parsha. Pasuk tells us at the end of source number 12, and Paro removed his ring from his hand and put it on Yosef's hand. He then had him dressed in garments of linen, and he had him ride in his second chariot. The Merkevet HaMishneh. Mishneh is similar to the word Mishnah. And Sheish, which is linen, corresponds to the six tractates of the Mishnah. It says, if Paro, and we know that the king is the ultimate king, is bestowing upon him the ability to be the forerunner, or the one who introduces this aspect of Torah Sheval Peh. And likewise, Paro calls him in the next page in source 13, Safna Paneach, the one who knows how to decipher the cryptic. And as Rashi says, we never have this phrase anywhere else, because that is the job of Yosef HaTzadik, and that is the job. Rashi is alluding to the fact that the Torah Sheval Peh explains all the things for which we cannot find an explanation, or similarly elsewhere, or similarity elsewhere in Torah Sheval Peh. So in summary, as we've learned, Yosef paved the way for the Jewish people to merit the miracles that are performed beyond the realm of nature. Yet the true goal is to believe and recognize that Hashem performs miracles on our behalf constantly within the realm of nature. Consequently, Yosef merited becoming the chariot and representative of Torah Sheval Peh. We also have learned that of all the miracles performed within the realm of nature emanate from the Torah Sheval Peh, hence in this merit, he was able to pave the way for the Jewish people to believe in these miracles performed on their behalf within the realm of nature. It was for this reason that he arranged for all 12 heavenly tribes to join him in a Hanukkah and Purim Sukkah. Okay, that was a little bit out there. We'll come down to earth. Level number one, two aspects. Why is it called Hanukkah? We rested on the 25th day, which means that we rested from political oppression. Hanukkah is about celebrating our spiritual freedom. Use it accordingly. Use it as a time of connection to Kodesh Baruch Hu. The second Chanukah Kaf Hei is that they rested on the aspect of Ko, of Kaf Hei, of Ko, which is the aspect of the Torah Sheval Peh, the oral tradition, that this is a holiday that's rooted in the natural world, by Yamim Ahem Basman Hazeh, and Yosef HaTzadik is paving the way by making that Suda. And this is our challenge, that whatever happens to us, we have to be able to see, albeit may not be directly, but know it's the hand of Hashem and everything that is happening. Let's bring it down a little bit to a little bit more concrete on the second aspect, second level, of why Hanukkah is called Hanukkah. And let's tie it into the Chanukah HaMizbeach, the original Hanukkah of the Nesiim, of the Mishkan as well. I'd like to look at three pieces. The first piece is Mota Labina, where he says the following. We learn the 25th day of Kislev was the time they finished the Mishkan, and they waited until Nisan, and Hashem felt bad for the 25th of Kislev. He says, don't worry about it, I'll repay you. And the question is, Yesh La'ayim demata shlumu kevan shekislev hayarui l'chanukosu d'chashmonayim mipadnei shirabo b'nitzachon b'nei chashmonayim. What do you mean you're repaying it? There was a miracle in its own right that happened on the 25th day of Hanukkah. It has nothing to do with the Mishkan. In what way are you repaying it? So he says very beautifully. He says in 14, what's the idea of chinuch? The idea of dedication, education, that whole aspect. It is something where you finish something in order to start something, which means that you're able to take something and move forward with it. I finished this kli, I finished this pottery I was making, and now it can be used for forever, or forever long at last. So the chinuch is about like setting something into motion that's going to last as long as possible. And indeed, the chinuch of the Mishkan, that dedication, indeed lasted. That hashras hashrina, that divine presence, lasted all the while that the Mishkan was established, whether it's in the desert, in Shiloh, in Nov, Givon, wherever it was, as well as in the first base of Mikdash as well as in the second base of Mikdash. That was an inauguration that was long-term inauguration. That's very fine and good, until you come to a point where the Ashras Ashrina, the Divine Presence, is thrown out. Then what happens? Then it's as if that original chinuch, that original dedication, comes to a halt. And now we're stuck. Now what happens? And this, he says in 15, Omnam Inyan Zed Ashras Ashrina B'Yisrael, Eino Ati Lamo Lo Lam Atzmo, Im Lo Yu Ruyim Lo L'Yisrael. if Klal Yisrael sin, they're throwing Hashem out of the Beis HaMikdash. So then, what we're really doing is, we are divesting the Beis HaMikdash of that original chinuch. And, ve'efsherut shel matzav kazeh yotzer chisaron b'inyan ha'chinuch shel mishkan. That just abrogates that original kedusha. Sherei adayim le'yadim yamo b'hai chinuch lo'olam. We see it's not really lasting forever. However, at the end of 15, Mihu, however, when Klal Yisrael were Moser Nefesh, they gave of themselves for the Kedusha, the holiness and the purity of the Migdash, Zahula Khir at Tatarala Yashna. Then they brought back the Shechina into the Beis HaMikdash. Ki chinuch ha-mishkan atid la'amod la'olam. Then what they were showing is that we are worthy to bring back that Shechina so that it should last forever. So the gamba ofen de chas v'shom ye'ez eshu siluk Shechina mipad chata'im kol shehem. Even if, God forbid, there's some level where the Shechina leaves, the ability to have people who are connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they have the ability to bring the Shechina back. Therefore, what was the chinuch of the Beis HaMikdash in the time of the Chashmonaim? Nitgalev v'nitbaseis ach v'rat b'chanukah Chashmonaim. We only see now, it's like the Mishkan, the original Mishkan, was like pending. Will it last forever or not, right? Like you're throwing something. How far can it go? How long will this last? Will it be a forever or not? And it was hanging in the balance. When the Yevonim came and they were metame, they defiled the Beis HaMikdash. Well, there's a Siluk HaShechina, so that original Mishkan Shechina isn't lasting now. So what did the Chashmonaim do when they rededicated the Mishkan? The rededication is really taking the original sanctity, the original chinuch, the original Mishkan, and enabling it to continue forward, that the Shechina will always be present on that place. Happy Eskola. So even though it looks like it's something new, it's a new story, they won the war, Hanukkah, they rested on the 25th, it is paying back for the original Mishkan, because now it's like the stamp on the original Mishkan that this Mishkan is going to be forever. Just to take this a little bit deeper and tie it into what we just said, we see that the greatness of what the Chashmonaim did about bringing the Shechina back into the Beis HaMikdash, the way he describes it is Chinuch Nishmas Beis HaMikdash, the soul of the Beis HaMikdash, the Tara, the purity of the Beis HaMikdash, which will be is forever, was specifically fundamental and important because there was something missing in the second Beis HaMikdash, which was the key of Hashras HaShechina, of the Divine Presence. We know the Divine Presence was much weaker in the second time. Nevuah was stopping. The Aro, which was the representation of the Torah Shemichsav, the written Torah, the Aron was hidden. It was buried. Yoshiyahu HaMelech buried it. So when the Torah is buried, the Aron had the Luchos in it, is buried. Like you almost wonder, can we keep this momentum going or not? And we know, Chazal tell us that the Ner Maravi, that western candle that lit, with few exceptions, was not found, that miracle, in the second Beis HaMikdash, because where did it get the spiritual energy to light? From the Aron. When the Aron was buried, the menorah wasn't able to be lit. And the menorah, we know, represents the seven branches of the seven types of wisdom. There's a lot of Torah on this. It's the Torah Shebaal Peh. It's the oral tradition. And then what the Chashmonaim were able to do is to say that even if the Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah, which as we just saw represents the supernatural, represents the clear indication of God residing in the temple, even when that is hidden, we still have the menorah. We still have the rabbis, we still have the Masorah, we still have the oral tradition, and that is within nature to be able to have that connection to Hashem, and that is what they established on the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence will now be found through the Chachamim, through the Torah learning, and bringing that Hashras HaShchina continuing at Bias Goel, which is almost parenthetically, almost ironic, that Hanukkah, and again, there's a lot of Torah on this, is really the holiday of Torah Sheva'al Peh, the holiday of the oral tradition. And it's ironic, is that people who are so not connected to Torah like the Hanukkah candles. And it's really about tradition. It's about tapping into that aspect that the rabbis are the ones who are the leaders that we have to listen to in our generation. Having said this, the question becomes, well, what does this have to do with me? Right? That's very nice that they brought the Shechina down and it's there forever and there's a quality of the Shechina at the Har HaBayis. That's very nice. But if I don't live in Eretz Yisrael, I don't necessarily tap into that. What does it have to do with Hanukkah? What does it have to do with my life? So I'd like to take a look at two ideas to bring this idea that the Hanukkah, the rededication, is really very relevant for each and every one of us. And I'd like to share two insights. The first is the Matnat Chaim. The Matnat Chaim brings in source number 20, the Ramah. And he says, the Afal Gavzol Nikba Chatzel L'Mishtev HaSimcha, even though we're no command to eat and drink, B'chozot Yesh Ksat Mitzvah B'Ribuy Asudos, there is an aspect of increasing your meals. We don't need much to tell us to cook up a storm. Mishum Shebeltam HaYamim Haya Chanukah HaMizbeach, because in those days, it was a rededication of the altar. Right, they rebuilt the altar, able to have the sacrifices. V'no'akim lomar smiros v'tishbachos v'sudos elu, and it's a custom to sing songs and to have a meal in these sudos. Now, it's very fascinating. Like, we don't usually quote this, right? We say, we quote Hanukkah is a time of miracles, and if you have a sudo, you add shiros v'tishbachos, you add songs of praise to Hashem, and it turns it into, take any Hanukkah party and you turn it into a Hanukkah sudo. But we've left out the key. It's not celebrating the candles. It's celebrating the Chanukat HaMizbeach. Az Degmor Bashir Mizmor Chanukat HaMizbeach. That's the key of Chanukah. The key of Chanukah is about remembering the rededication of the altar. Now, this is very fascinating. Ube'emet Kan Ma'unyan B'davar, one who looks into this matter, nir'eh ki al etzem davar zeh nikma shema Chanukah, asher af shedor she reshuma dorshu ba'ach shechanukah vei. This is the real reason that we have the name Chanukah, because it is celebrating the experience of rededicating the altar. So now I ask you, my friends, when was the last time you did anything on Chanukah to remind yourself of the rededication of the altar, when indeed this is the name, and the name is the essence, and we've all been singing Azek Mor Bashir Mizmor Chanukat HaMizbeach, the rededication of the altar. So, how does this apply to us? So the first thing that Rav Asisyahu says in 22 is, if anything, it should make me depressed. I don't have a Beis HaMikdash, I don't have an altar, like what do you want from me? So he says, Fakert. He says there's an idea by the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu in the circle asterisk, Tzion hi doresh eila, nichlal debay drisha. Tzion, Zion, needs people to yearn for it and to long for it. The whole idea of rebuilding a Beis HaMikdash is wanting it to be rebuilt. When I realize how they made a party, how they went to rededicate and rebuild the utensils in the Mizbeach, as Navoli Shtokek Yoter LeBinyan Beis HaMikdash, I'm going to yearn for the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, and I'm going to be able to really say a Ma'ol Tzur with real Kavana, Tichon Beit Tefilasi. Let us rebuild the base tefilasi, the base hamikdash, the place of prayer. V'sham todah nisabeach, and there I'm going to offer a korban toda. So, on the simplest level, the Ma'ot Tzur fulfills a major component of what the Chanukah is about. It's about the yearning for the Beis HaMikdash. When I light the candles, it's not just about lighting the candles. It's about reminding me of the Avodah, reminding me of the service in the Beis HaMikdash. Right? I can't offer sacrifices, but I can light candles. Right? And the candles, as far as say, are the continuation. Shachat Kayem El Olam, the Ramban on Parshas Baloscha. It's a continuation of the Beis HaMikdash. When I light the candles, there has to be a yearning for Tikkun-based philosophy. And therefore, Hanukkah, says from Rabbi Yisrael Solomon, has to be a time in 24 that we have to focus in on Mechuyav Yisorot Lashiv Avoda V'Yishei Yisrael V'Tfilatam, to work on our tfilos, that our tfilos are in place of the korbanos, that we should be able to daven more slower, that wasn't English, on a slower level. We should be able to focus on our tefillah. When I say, you know, to flag, the sechazena einenu b'shuvcha l'tfilin b'rachami, say that with more kavana. Ritzei Hashem al-kin b'tfilatam v'shevet avodah l'dvir b'secha, say that with kavana. Because Hanukkah is about that my tefillah, which is in place of the sacrifices, should be on a level of deeper connection, because this holiday, Hanukkah, is about the rededication of the altar to bring the sacrifices, and our tefillah, our prayers, in the place of sacrifices. And at the same time, it has to be a deepening awareness of the desire. Tikkun-based philosophy, v'sham todah nizabeach, to yearn for the Beis HaMikdash, to yearn to bring a korban todah to Hashem. The second way that this idea of Hanukkah on 2a, that's about the Hanukkah and Mizbeah, is relevant to our lives, it's a very, very beautiful piece. You know, as I mentioned, always I try to find like one piece that's going to inspire me with Chasdei Hashem, and then build a shiur around that piece. So this was the piece this week. Maybe I shouldn't share it, and you'd have to, you know, guess, but it will be maybe perhaps that you can also tap into it as well in 26. Ki gam Chanukah mizbeach hi ara nitzchit hamiyoreret b'chol shana v'shana b'tzman hasad. It's not only the candles that are in every year, the Chanukah hamizbeach, the rededication of the altars every year, and that's why it's called Chanukah. Inyan ha'ara zu hi chinuch hi aichachos. It's about renewal in our lives. Chanukah mizbeach v'chanukah tadbayit mechadesh lachar matzav shel korban. It's even now. And he says, and this is very beautiful, the candles are the kutzda d'chayusa. We used that phrase last week. Are that breath of life that enables us to rededicate ourselves to avodas Hashem. And this is true of each and every one of us. We all have a deep desire to be spiritual. All of us. All of us want to find meaning in life, particularly in this pandemic. What is this all about? We all want to connect. And this has been a year of tremendous amount of introspection, and for some it's been a tremendous amount of being spent time alone. Who am I? Where am I? The Chanukah Lich, which we know is the Or HaGadol, that light of creation. It's a light of clarity. It's a light that asks me, where am I? Me. I am the Bayit. I am the home. Where am I in terms of my Avodas Hashem? When we talk about the Chanukah HaMizbeach, the Chanukah HaBayit, it's about my own personal life. What am I ready to sacrifice for? What am I ready to be involved with? What stands am I going to take? What movement forward am I going to take in order for me to be a better me? That I can rebuild my inner mizbeach. Where do I have to be Moser Nefesh? And Moser Nefesh, as we've spoken about, my friend, is not dying Al Kiddush Hashem, thank God, in our generation. It is giving ourselves over to Hashem, moving out of our comfort zone. For some, it may mean being able to bring in Shabbos 10 minutes early, even on a winter Shabbos. That's Moser Nefesh. That takes a lot. But I want my home to be a home of bracha. I want to bring Kedushin to my home earlier. So on Hanukkah, I say to myself, you know, Shabbos could use improvement in my home. What can I do? Where's my Mesiras Nefesh? Well, maybe it's taking it in 10 minutes earlier. Maybe it's taking it in 10 minutes later. Maybe on Shabbos itself, I will learn something at the table. That's Mesiras Nefesh. I have to get the book. I have to read the book. The kids are bored. What are we doing? The light of the menorah, the light of the candles is just a medium to spark a person to find that inner Mizbeach. Ki arash ochanika ta Mizbeach, ki aram nitzchi. This is what's in the air now. Rebuilding your Beis HaMikdash. Finding what it is that I can go out of my comfort zone. My Mizbeach, my altar. What I have to sacrifice to become a more spiritual person. To become a more connected person. And this, my friends, is true on the national level and on the individual level. The Chol Yochid Yachol in 27 and the asterisk Litchadesh Binyanim Shigarmulo Litrachek Makadosh Baruch Hu. Find within yourself what are some mitos that have brought you character traits further away from Hashem. When Chanukah comes, Yachol Litchadesh Shuv Beitor Ruchanei V'lasol Chanukah Rabayit Shizuz Kulas Chachad Litchanech Litno Bayit Chadash. That's what Hanukkah is about. Hanukkah is about rededication. Hanukkah is about rebuilding. Hanukkah is a lot of hard work, my friend. It's not just all latkes and sufganiyot and, you know, all of these good things. You know, as they say that sufganiyot are not like antibiotics that you have to take, you know, three a day. It's much more than that, my friends. It's really hard work. It's about introspection. It's about using the candles as a meditative experience process. And this is, says the Nesiva Shalom, continuing at the end of 27 and 28. This is why Minhag Yisrael is after lighting the Chanukah candles. One of the Kapitul Tilums that we say is Mizmor Shir Chanukah Habayit LeDavid, as well as after the Shir Shalom to also say this Kapitul, chapter 30. Of Mizmor Shir Chanukah Habayit LeDavid. So what does Mizmor Shir Chanukah Habayit LeDavid have to do with Chanukah? It was what David HaMelech said. So he says it's the essence of what this kapitel is about. I could have been in the deepest of the deep of Histarta Panecha Yiti Nivhal. I could have had Hester upon him and I was in a really difficult state, but nevertheless, Elecha Hashem Ekrav al Hashem et Chanan, I can call out to you. Pitach the Saki v'tazreni Simcha, I can open my sackcloth and be able to rejoice because I can praise Hashem le'olam odecha. If you take a look at this kapitel, it's well worth learning inside. It's really about struggle. It's about going down to the depth and being brought up. And that's the inner reflection we've had. We've had difficult times, and we ask Hashem, you know, I've been so broken, and there's so many things in my life that need to be fixed. Help me. Help me. V'tazreini simcha. Give me the joy. Give me the ability to reconnect. That is the practical application of the Chanukah Mishkan, Chanukah Mishpeah, on the second level for our lives. So let's summarize. We have one final idea, my friends. Why is it called Chanukah? So the first level, it's called Chanukah, Chanukah. Hey, they rested on the 25th day. Why are we making such a big deal about resting? It wasn't about fighting the war. It was about now they could finally rest and be able to keep Torah mitzvahs. And that's why we want Yimos HaMashiach to finally be able to rest to keep Torah mitzvahs. You ever wonder why all these machines are being built now and robots and all of these drones? It's so that we can rest and be able to learn Torah. And you need something, you just, you know, send a drone over and, you know, you can pick it up. It saves you so much time from running errands. Cars that drive themselves, I mean, everything. We're living in this age that's moving very fast. As Arya Kaplan himself speaks about, that this is a sign of Mashiach is coming when technology moves in a speed that it's never done before, because we are hurrying up to the Messianic time. And we're up, we're right there. Mashiach's on the doorstep. The second idea of Chanukah is Chanukah Hey, that the Ko, the aspect of the physical world, is where we are found at this present time. We are found in the world of nature. By Mimahein Basman Hazeh, this is the idea of Torah Shebaal Peh. This is the idea of that the rabbis The Chachamim are the ones who are understanding for us the biblical tradition. Yosef HaTzadik preparing the meal is setting the stage that from the major miracles of Egypt, we're able to have the right perspective on the miracles that are couched in nature. The second level, Chanukah, is about Chanukah Mishkan, Chanukah Mizbeach. On the one hand, it connects back to the original Mishkan, because this Chanukah is like cementing that original dedication that should be forever. That even when the Aron is buried, and even when I don't have Torah Shemichsav, I have Torah Shemalpeh, and I have the Chachamim, and the Mesorah continues, and we have the ability to continuously bring down this light into our lives. How does this impact our lives? Matzos Chaim, one idea is to daven on Chanukah for the Beis HaMikdash. Tikkun Beis Tefillah. My tefillah is different on Chanukah. It has a qualitative difference of that yearning and desire to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and to connect with Hashem. On the second level, the Chanukah Mizbeach, it's us. We're rededicating us. We're rebuilding us. And the candles are just a medium. So when I have a party, it's a suda about rejuvenation, joy. And that's really what the family getting together is about. You know, everyone's so busy. And then Chanukah, you're able to come together. COVID, a little bit more challenging. Zoom parties. You're able to come together and be able to reconnect and realize what's really important and rebuild on what's really important. The final idea to be is why it's called Chanukah for the dedication, is the idea that Chanukah comes from the word chinuch, hitchatshus, renewal and rejuvenation. Not just the Chanukah HaMizbeach, but Chanukah in its own right. Right? It's not called Chanukah HaMizbeach, it's called Chanukah. Because Chanukah means rejuvenation and rebuilding. Ner l'ragli dvarecha v'or l'sivasi, that I have a light to my foot by the word of Hashem, and a candle on the pathway, which is that the light of Chanukah enables a person to have this passion to do Ritzon Hashem. And as Rav Biederman notes in Berach Chaim in Source 30, it's not easy. It's not easy to take that step and say, I'm going to make Shabbos earlier. It's not easy to say, I'm going to do whatever it is. It's a challenge. It takes effort. And he said, that's hinted at. But the Amir Emes says, from Gur, in the Tfilas Yom Kippur, when we talk about the Hazayah, the sprinkling of the blood, we say, Achas, 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 V'shtayim, one, one and one, one and two. So why do we repeat Achas over and over again? So says the Imre Emes, the Gaval de Gvor. Achas is to remind us of that first sprinkling, that first step forward. Afterwards, the Achas, V'achas, Achas, V'shtayim, things come much easier. It's that first few times that I try to make Shabbos earlier. I try to bring that sefer to the table. I try to do something. I try not to get angry. I try to count to 10. Whatever it is, that Achas is so beloved to Hashem that we repeat it over and over again because it is difficult, it is hard. And this is the job of Chanukah. As Rav Gedayahu, Rav Gedayahu Shurz Hatzal says in 31, Chanukah v'mloshon chinuch. It's a language of dedication because Chanukah is about breaking out of our regilus, our natural habits of in the era of doing things by rote, doing things with kriros, regilus, habitually. Chanukah is about bringing that fire, bringing that bren into our avodas Hashem. And indeed, we know that the Cheshvonaim, the Bach says, why did the Yevonim have an upper hand on us? Because hidrashlu, they became weakened in their avodas Hashem. So the Yevonim, the Maccabim rather, had to show Mesiras Nefesh, had to show this passion and fire to be able to overcome this hisrashlus, this deficiency. Let's bring this down to our lives, my friends. Rabbi Lef in Festivals of Life. What was this deficiency in the avoda? So he says, the prophet admonished the people because the Torah was observed, tzav latzav, a command here, a command there, a line here, a line there, a little here, a little there. God does not want from us 613 disjunctive and independent acts, but rather, achas diber elokim, one unified voice. We must become individually and collectively Hashem's mikdash, where His presence will be presented to the entire world by a nation of holy kohanim. And this is really the challenge that we have. A commandment is a candle and the Torah is light. The mitzvos are a receptacle for the oil that forms the light disseminated by the Torah, which generates the Torah personality and lifestyle. The avodah, prayer, and sacrifice in the environment of the Mikdash put the various mitzvos into the perspective of a relationship with Hashem and encompassed all of life and its components. During the period preceding Hanukkah, Jews were weak in this avodah. Torah observance became mere external compliance to the command. The implication of the lifestyle to be created by those commands, the creation of a nation, of a holy nation, was ignored. Shabbos was observed, but did not impact the lifestyle that strove for the spiritual world represented by Shabbos. They observed the letter of the law, but failed to be imbued with the holiness and purity that those laws imply. The Yiddishkeit was dark and external, and the preciousness of the chosen nation was diminished. This very shallow appreciation of true Torah lifestyle induced some to be totally influenced by the Greek way of life. If one views the Torah only externally, it can't match the beauty and grandeur of the externals of Greece. Therefore, they accepted it as an alternative to the drab Jewish existence that left them feeling disillusioned and unimpressed due to its lack of real content. For this reason, this is why it's called Galus Yafa. Why is it called the Exile of Yavan? We were living in the Beis HaMikdash. Yes, we were living in Eretz Yisrael and had the Beis HaMikdash, but we were millions of miles away from their inner spiritual essence. That was the challenge. Continue on the last page. The decree, one of the decree was Lahavira Mechuke Ritzonecha. Here, too, the Greeks were perfectly willing to let the Jews observe mitzvot to folk culture, as long as the essence of their lifestyle was in line with the basic Greek philosophy. The bond through Torah and mitzvot is symbolized by the menorah, which represents the light of Torah that emanates from the receptacle of the mitzvot when they are pure and untainted. Recognition of our unique relationship with Hashem generated an increased awareness of Hashem's special relationship with us and resulted in the 8 days of Hallel and Hodayah to Hashem of intensifying closeness to Him through prayer and praise. On both sides, we read this piece describing Hanukkah, and we can't but wonder, are we not living in a second Hanukkah experience right now? Our youth are disenchanted. Our adults are disenchanted. Is Shabbos a Shabbos experience? Is Yontif a Yontif experience? Do we light the candles with that brand, with that passion, with that fire? Do we go through the motions? Or do we actually feel it? As Rav Pinkus Atzal says, this is the limud that we have from Hanukkah. Hayofi Hamiti, the real beauty, is found in Torah. Yafet, Yavan, has beauty. But beauty is just like a wrapping paper. What do I do with the wrapping paper after I open the... So some of you may save the wrapping paper to give it to somebody else who will then throw it out. Okay, I take the wrapping paper and I throw it out. It's very pretty, but it's useless. Or after a while, it becomes useless. Rabosai, we can't get stuck in a wrapping paper world. And he says, you know, it's like a person who goes to a fancy dinner and has all the delicacies. However, right before they go to this fancy dinner, they eat something very sharp in their mouth. And therefore, whatever they eat is going to taste like a little bitter. That's what happens with us. When we are submerged and our children are submerged in the outer world, we've taken away the taste of what Torah is about, and it doesn't feel as sweet to them. My friends, Tarbut Yavan, Hizo Sheikh Nisa Banu, and the Arrow in 39, it's at Taiva Latamim Zarim Vichitonim. Yavan, and Yavan exists until today, is those outer desires for things, and that has weakened and blunted the desire for Torah, the desire for closeness to Hashem. What is our job on Hanukkah? Lachzir la'atzmeinu et ha'masikus b'avodas Hashem b'limud ha'Torah v'kiyum mitzvot. Why is it important to give Hanukkah gelt or Hanukkah gifts? It's important to give them with the understanding that I want you to be learning Torah. I'm proud of you as a Torah yid. It's connected with Torah, not just like, you know, presents. It's about
how special Ki Hem Chayenu V'Orech Yameinu. The Torah has to be special. To light the Hanukkah candles, eat the dreidel, I mean, play the dreidels, eat the sufganiyah, whatever you do, eat chocolate dreidels. And that's all of your Hanukkah for 8 days, which is L'mala Min HaTeva. You've missed the boat, my friends. Where's your davening? Where's your Torah learning? Where's your chesed? And more importantly, where's your fire? Where's your love? Where's your passion? Where's your excitement? That's the week that we as adults have to give over to our children. That's the experience, whether we have children living in our homes or not, Zoom or not, or give it over to ourselves. Pursuing Yisa first and foremost is for each and every one of us. Mismashir Chanukah Nabai Ludovi. We have to rebuild in ourselves. The Pasuk Mayafitu Manaam T'Avam B'Tanugim. How special, how beautiful are the love of the Tanugim, of the delicacies. Says Rav Avram Shor, Rav Gedalia Shor's son, Lekach Halibov in 41, in our generation, the only way that our children can stay away from the outside influences, Shirgishu Tanug V'Ava Bavotam, they have to feel the sweetness of Shabbos, the sweetness of mitzvot, the sweetness of Torah life, because without that, they're not going to be able to stop themselves from being involved in the world around them. And he brings down that the Masechet Sofrim 42 says on the Pasuk, Mayafitu Man Na'amt, that this is referring to the mitzvah mezuzah and near Chanukah. Chanukah is a time, Yimei Chanukah, 42 in the bracket, Heima Mesugolim Largisha Ne'imus Bavodat Hashem Yisbarach, is to feel the sweetness. My friends, put away all distractions, whatever they are. Allow this to be a time of chinuch, a time of dedication, a time to spend with your family, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your neighbors. It doesn't matter, with a child inside of you. Allow it to be a time of passion, a time of enthusiasm, a time to sit on the floor and play dreidel with your kids, a time to teach Torah, to sing with them, to feel that there is an excitement, a passion in Yiddishkeit. This is the chinuch, this is the Chanukah, this is the rededication, ner yishuv eso, that every house has to undergo. And with this type of rededication, then we can have mayafitu man na'amt avava tanugim. Mirz Hashem, ourselves and our children will realize there is no greater pleasure than the pleasure of Torah and mitzvot, and indeed, we will have been mechanech, we will have established our home as a home of real chinuch, of connection to Ribono Shel Olam.